Last Feast of Tabernacles on the opening afternoon, I think it was the opening afternoon, when Mr. Kubik gave a sermon, and he talked about Ukraine and some of the things that were going on there. He made a statement, and he said, "I don't observe Rosh Hashanah, I keep the Feast of Trumpets." He said, "I don't observe Yom Kippur, I keep the Feast of Atonement." And I thought, I'm glad he said that. Because when sometimes, especially if we're talking to Jewish people or you know, people that we know have no knowledge at all of what we do during God's holy days, we tend to just simplify it quickly by saying, well, it's like the Jewish holidays, that we observe the same days. Up to a point, we observe the same days, but what we do is not like Judaism. And I'm going to show you some of that. I was going to use some information that I got from a Chabad rabbi in Sandy Springs. He distributed some information to his congregation in 2007 and 2008 about preparing for the Passover and especially dealing with leavening. Checked my email yesterday afternoon just before the Sabbath, and I found this extremely long, detailed article that somebody had sent me from a Jewish Chabad rabbi in Miami. And it is a long explanation about the how they do the what they call Pesach, Passover. And it talks about what they do during the 14 days leading up to the original Passover and then through the whole 7 days of unleavened bread, which they call Passover. To start with, let's go to Exodus 12. Are you surprised? This time of year, we go to Exodus 12 a lot. This is the Passover chapter. Basically, the whole chapter talks about doing the Passover and eating unleavened bread and all the preparations they made in Egypt right on through to the Exodus when they walked out. And if we look at Exodus 12, you notice in verse 1, they tell you who's speaking. It says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses." And then in verse 2, he starts quoting some of it, and he says, "This month shall be your beginning of months." In case you missed it the first time, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Then you have several verses where it talks about the Passover, about taking the lamb and putting on the 10th day and putting it up, and then about killing it and eating it. Verse 8 mentions that you shall eat it roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. And in verse 14, we are reminded that this day shall be to you as a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. In case you missed it, you shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Then in the next verse, verse 15, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. In verse 17 he says, "Because I brought your armies out of Egypt and throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance." On the first month, on the 15th day of, I think the 15th day of evening, you shall eat unleavened bread. Let me see. Yep. The 14th, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day at evening. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your house. Since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. That was verse 19. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. Then later in the chapter, we learned that they took the dough and they made unleavened cakes because their kneading bowls were bound up, because they had already started packing and they didn't have time to leaven the bread. And then they left Egypt in a hurry. It says they were driven out. They couldn't, verse 39, it says, "And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and couldn't wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves." Then there, in verse 43 through 49, there are other instructions about what people should do, and it talks about no foreigner or uncircumcised person should eat the Passover, and which is why we, for instance, say that on the Passover service that we're going to do next Thursday night is for baptized members of the Church of God only. And you don't need to turn there, but in Exodus 13, chapter 6, verse 6 through 8, it repeats the prescription about eating unleavened bread, and no leavening should be found in your houses. So that gives our scriptural basis originally from the Old Testament, and of course for eating unleavened bread, for observing these days of unleavened bread forever throughout our generations. And every passage like Leviticus 22, I think it is, and in Deuteronomy where it describes the holy days, it talks about eating unleavened bread. I found this long article in my email yesterday, and I looked at it and I said, "Oh wow, this is really good. This is detailed. I'm going to cherry pick through some of this and show you some about what the Jews do and why they do what they do, and compare and contrast it with what we do. And you'll find that what we do is much more straightforward, much simpler. There are some things that are similar, but as with everything in Judaism over the centuries, they added, they intensified everything, they ritualized everything. When a rabbi made a statement, if he was a well-known, famous rabbi, considered to be a great sage or something, that his word sort of became part of their law and part of their traditions. And we're going to mention, be reminded here of what Jesus said about people nullifying the laws of God to keep their own traditions. This thing is called Pesach, which that's the Jewish term for Passover. So in this thing, wherever it says Pesach, I'm going to say Passover. Wherever it uses the Hebrew term chametz, C-H-A-M-E-T-Z, I'm going to say leaven, if I can remember to do so. And where it uses the name of God as capital G-D, because they're not allowed to say God referring to his name, I'm going to say God. Because, you know, we believe that God is our Father, and, you know, we don't euphemize our Father's name. This thing is called Pesach 5775. This is what they believe is the current Jewish year. Laws, customs, and explanations. It says, at the beginning, it says, the month of Nisan. The month of Nisan is the first month of the year, just like the Bible says. In this month, we emphasize our power of speech to serve God. Indeed, by performing the Seder, that's the Passover night ritual, in the right manner, we can elevate and fix all of the words we said in the previous year. This is all Jewish stuff, okay? This is written to these Chabad Jews, this rabbi in Miami. Okay, no taknun or fasting. No taknun or confessionary prayer is said throughout the entire month of Nisan. The reason for this is that the first 12 days of Nisan are considered holidays due to the special sacrifices brought on these days by the tribal leaders during the consecration of the Mishkan, which I think is the tabernacle. The 14th day is Erev Pesach, which is a holiday because of the Pesach sacrifice, which was sacrificed on that day. The 15th to the 22nd of Nisan, they add an extra day at the end, except in Israel, is Pesach, or Passover. Since most of the month is special, we consider the rest of the month to be joyous as well. For this reason, one should also not fast or deliver a eulogy during the entire month. It talks about a couple being married. They should fast on the day of their marriage if they get married during this month, even on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which I guess is the first day of Passover. Then he goes on and describes all sorts of rituals. says the first 12 days of Nisan corresponds to the 12 months of the year. The great Sadiqim, or sages, the great rabbis, Sadiqim, Sadducees would be the Greek term that we're more familiar with, were able to foretell the upcoming events of the year based on these days. Then there's something about a blessing of fruit trees. Then there's a certain days of the year, from the first day of the year, which, by the way, was last Sabbath, right on through the 14th, that certain things are to be done on certain days. Like on one day, the community is supposed to take up a fund to be distributed to the poor members of the community so that their Passover needs can be met. To keep a Jewish Passover is a very expensive proposition. There are certain foods you have to buy, certain ways they have to be prepared, certain rituals that go along with everything. Let's see. There's a specific day when they're supposed to distribute matzah, and there are rules for doing that. Now, they have elaborate rituals and things that you're supposed to do and things you're supposed to say about searching, the final search of your house for matzah, which they call, or leavening, which they call chametz. But there is also a provision which they call selling chametz. If one owns leavening or leavened products that one doesn't wish to destroy or consume before Passover, one may sell it to a Gentile before 12:21 p.m. on Friday, Erev Pesach, Miami time. So that would be next Friday afternoon. In order for this sale to be valid, it must be conducted in a very specific manner. For this reason, one should authorize a competent rabbi to conduct the sale for him. This should be done early enough so that the rabbi will be able to complete the sale before the above time. In the contract, one should specify any addresses where one is keeping the leavening. The leavening in those locations should be kept in a separate area, e.g. a room or a cupboard. One should tape or seal the entrance to that area to indicate that it was sold, and one should not enter that area during Passover. Passover, of course, being the whole Feast of Unleavened Bread for them. Some are particular to give the Gentile the keys to the areas that contain the leaven. This is a stringent opinion and is not necessary by the letter of the law. So there are differences in different sects and different groups of Jews as to how strict you have to be. Some of the products that one might want to include in this sale are grain-based vodka, whiskey, or beer, pastas, dry cereal, flour, or crackers. Some are strict and sell only products that are not actually chametz or leavening. And they consume or get rid of products with real leaven before Passover. Chabad custom is to permit the sale of real chametz. The rabbi who conducts the sale will buy it all back after Passover. One should not consume any of the sold products immediately after Passover, but rather wait to consume the sold leavening 1/2 hour after Yom Tov, or the last day of Passover, is over for the buying back to be completed. Then there are rules about if for some reason you have to enter the zone or the area that you have sold to the Gentile. Now, then, just to make sure that you don't make a joke of this, he says, certainly one who is leaving town may not sell his entire house to a Gentile in order to not have to check it and then allow someone else to stay in that house. One who does this is making a joke of the sale of his leavening. If he wishes to allow someone else to stay in the house, he or the tenant must check the house or the parts of the house that he will use for leavening. And then, of course, there are rules that if the Gentile who buys this stuff decides he wants to keep it, there are things that say, well, you have to allow him to keep it, but he has to pay you back the full market value. Then they have talk about cleaning for leavening, which, of course, we also do this too. The spiritual benefits of cleaning for chametz or leavening. Rabbi Toby Hirsch Kaibanover has a tradition of his that says, anyone that labors a labor in order of Yom Tov of Pesach especially if he is exhausted and worn out from the labor, destroys all of the avenging angels that are called the plague of men. Whoever toils in the mitzvah, or the law of Passover, is fixing the sin of wasted seed from which almost no man is free. It is therefore incumbent upon every person to fix what he can. God, in his great mercy, should accept the good intentions of his nation, the Jewish people, and redeem us speedily. Then there's a whole section about koshering everything for Passover, about how to clean all the different types of materials, the ovens, the pottery, the dishes, the dishwasher, the microwave, the counters, on and on it goes. Then they talk about the foods that go on the Seder table. I'm just going to give you one example. There's one of the items they put on the table is called charoset, which is a mix of different things. It's a reminder of the mortar that Jews had to mix while enslaved in Egypt. They use apples, pears, and nuts, such as walnuts and or almonds. Apples remind them of the apple trees that grew near the fields in Egypt where they toiled. And then he quotes a totally unrelated scripture to support it. And it comes from, you don't have to turn there, of course, Psalm of Psalms, verse chapter 8, verse 5, which is the Song of Solomon, where he's talking about wooing his lover. It's not talking about feeding under apple trees in Egypt, but he says, "Under the apple trees I aroused you." And it quotes this verse. There are rules about the wine. Then he goes into some extreme descriptions and explanations of searching the house for leavening. And he mentions that, of course, the house should be thoroughly cleaned before doing the final search. And you do that during the weeks and days leading up to Passover. It says during... and then he lists all the areas of the house that have to be searched. It reminds you about cupboards and closets and clothing and pockets, and on it goes and goes and goes. It says the front and back yards don't need to be checked because you can assume that any leaven that was put out there will be taken care of by the birds. So now we get to when you're doing the search, they actually have a custom where they deliberately place leavening in certain parts of the house. They start doing this search on the evening of the 14th day, which of course would be Thursday night of this year. And so he talks about it. You place 10 pieces of bread wrapped in paper in different areas so that leavening will be found during this final search. Since leavening represents the Yetzer Hara, we put out these pieces to symbolize that no one should be so presumptuous to say that they have conquered their Yetzer Hara and that they have no evil desires. Anyone who thinks that they are perfect has not even begun to serve God. The number 10 corresponds to the 10 levels of evil that we ask God to eradicate from the world, as well as the 10 makot, or plagues, that God brought upon the Egyptians and will bring upon our enemies in the future. Before beginning the search, we recite a bracha, which is for searching for the leaven. And then also they make another bracha. There's a thing they say which has Al Bikur comments, which is on destroying the leaven. And then they do this check because the purpose of the checking is to find and destroy the leaven. Some have a custom to wash their hands before reciting this bracha. One may not talk between saying the bracha and the start of the search. It is preferable not to talk throughout the entire search unless it is something pertaining to the search. One who goes to the bathroom in the middle of the search should say the blessing of Asher Yatzar and not delay the blessing until later. Following the search, the Chabad custom is to tie a string around the bag containing the leaven. And of course, when they're doing the search, they're supposed to use a feather to brush the minutest cracks in the house and a little candle that they hold to shine a light real close to it so they can find it, and a wooden spoon to scoop it up with. One should put the feather, the remains of the candle, and the wooden spoon in the bag as well. The handle of the spoon should protrude from the bag. The bag should be put away in a secure place until the next morning, at which time it should be burned. Then there's a section called Searching Your Heart. The Talmud says that when checking for leaven, if there's a hole in the wall that is too high or one that is too deep so that the hand cannot reach there, one should simply nullify the leaven in his heart, and that is sufficient. The search for leaven symbolizes our search for negative actions and traits within ourselves. So you see, they do have some semblance of the idea that it represents sin and that they have to put it out. A person may say, how can I personally correct all my mistakes and sins if I don't remember all of them? The Talmud alludes to this by saying, whatever you cannot reach, you need only nullify in your heart. This means that one doesn't need to actively repent on the misdeeds that he cannot remember. One need only repent on the sins that he is aware of. God, who knows of one's misdeeds from the day he was born, considers that since we did our best and repented on the sins that we recalled, had we remembered the others, we certainly should have repented on those as well. He therefore forgives us of all our sins. This is just some of this information that I found. I found this quite fascinating. Some of it I knew, but I didn't know all of these details. Now we're going to go back to the Bible. You don't remember that we sometimes call it the bread of affliction. You don't need to turn there, but this is mentioned in Deuteronomy 16, chapter 3 and 4, verse 3 and 4, where he's talking about the holy days. And in verse 3 of that, he says, you shall eat no leavened bread with it, with the meat that you sacrifice for the Passover. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. For it, and in parentheses it says, that is, for it, no unleavened bread with it, that is the bread of affliction. And in parentheses it says, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste. It says, and the reason you do this is that you may remember the day that you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. And in verse 4 then it talks about, no leaven shall be found in your territories. Now as I was looking through all this material about all these things that the Jews do, and especially on how you can sell your leaven, if there are certain rules for doing it. You can't just do it just because you don't want to do certain things, but they have certain rules and traditions and customs. So what does that remind you? Can you think of anything in the scriptures that talk about? Just think about Mark chapter 7. In verse 6 through 9, you don't need to turn there, but Jesus is talking. He answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. And in verse 7 it says, and in vain they worship me, teaching his doctrine the commandments of men. And in verse 9 he reminds them, and he said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions. Now, in conclusion, Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, you don't need to turn there, but you can go to 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, 6 through 8, where he's talking about people that came in the Galatian churches and tried to tell them that you have to do all these Jewish things before you can be a real Christian. And he's talking about these people that trouble them, and he reminds them in Galatians 5, verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now we go into 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 through 8. This is going to be my concluding part. In verse 6, he's talking about, after he's mentioned about certain things that they were allowing in the Corinthian church, your glorifying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Verse 7, therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, here's the encouragement, here's why we do it. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. This is the whole crux of this whole message, the whole reason that we do this. Verse 8, therefore, let us keep the feast. He's talking to Gentile Greeks here, not Jews. And of course, he had to explain a lot about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which, of course, he knew very well, being a Jew and having done all these things that I just read you some about. Verse 8, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So, happy Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread this year when it comes.